Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Hello.
Welcome to our show today. As always, in this episode, Jill and I talk about land investment only works with motivation. Boy, we wrapped up yesterday's show with that sentence, I think.
Kind of, yeah.
Weird. Land investment only works with motivation. Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the landacademy.com online community. It's free.
Okay. Bay asked, when optioning a property, should I list the full information in the listing? What do I do if buyers look up the property and see that I'm not the owner?
Go ahead, Jill.
I'll
answer if you want.
Go ahead, Jack.
No, you go ahead. So, this is a great opportunity to big picture say this. This question and tons of questions you're going to see throughout your career start to get really repeated. And what I do is I just practice canned answers. So here's my canned response when I get this question. No, it's not the, hey, buyer, the property's not in my name. It takes sometimes up to a year for the recorder and the assessor to get on the same page about who owns it. So first it gets recorded, it goes to a database, and if it's a real urban county, they have the same database and it gets recorded quickly, and if the assessor gets updated, in some of the rural counties, it takes a year. I've seen it take 2 years. So that should always be your answer about why isn't this property in your name, not just about optioning. However, you never want to lie. So if somebody's smart enough to say, you know, I did all my due diligence, I want to buy the property, the property is priced right, how do I know you own this thing? If it's above $4,000, here's what we do. We do it through escrow. And you need to be real upfront about with the escrow agent. There's all these tiny little boutique escrow companies popping up everywhere. And the more boutique they are and the more new they are, the more willing they are to do creative stuff for you. So you're not going to find a regular First American Title agent who's going to do a lot of independent servicing, and it's not their fault. They just have regulations that come down from corporate, and that's how they have to do it. So you want to explain to the escrow agent that this is a dual closing, and it'd be great if, you know, we don't discuss the economics of the thing with every single party. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that should necessarily close the deal. If the buyer is interested in the property, they like it, they like the price, they like the terms, I think it's okay to disclose the whole thing.
It's funny.
It's not.
Well, you use the term that I have equitable title. That's an easy thing if you just say that too. I have equitable title in the property and leave it at that. What I was going to add, which is kind of funny, I've never had a person who questioned my ownership and how do I say this? I've had people that have questioned my ownership, and they've even asked me to send them a copy of the recorded deeds to prove it. Those guys never follow through.
They don't
even
anything.
Bother. Yeah. They don't buy it. They're not real
buyers. They're looking
buyers.
For a problem.
It's just
instead
weird.
Of looking for a way to get the deal done.
Exactly. So yeah, if anyone says to you, well, I need to see proof of that, can you send me a copy of the recorded deed? Yeah, we're out, we're passing, because you're not going to really buy it anyway. I can tell you from experience, they never follow through.
If you want to go buy a car on Sunday because you need to drive work on Monday, and you go look at the car, and the person clearly purchased the car, or they are aware of the fact that the car is for sale. They've marked it up $1,000, but you like the car. You think it's a fair price. It passes all your tests. Are you really going to say, well, you don't get into it, right? It's the same thing with real estate. You know, there's two types of people that ask this question. Tire kickers, like Jill just said, and people that are really looking, they're just doing a rational and reasonable amount of due diligence to make sure they don't get screwed. And, you know, it's kind of your job to develop a sense for that. If it's the first one, you can just say no. The second one, you really need to work with them and say, yeah, I respect that. We'll do, you know, let's take, this is why it's going to work.
Well, I was going to add, in my situation, I really did own that property. I really did have the title recorded, done, ready to go. And it's, and the whole point was, it was just, they weren't the right people. I have tested it. I sent them, here's a recorded deed. See that? That's my name on there. Now let's talk about it. And they're like, oh, well, I need to know this. Now I need to know that. Yep, because you weren't real. You weren't real serious. So, got it.
There's no funny business going on in this business. Once in a while, I talk to a real seasoned real estate guy. Sometimes they're land people. And by the way, the more seasoned they are, the least amount of talent they have to close their own deals, because they've been using a title agent their whole life. So a lot of times I'll still speak with these seasoned guys and they're like, what are you talking about? You do it that way. What about this? What about this? What about this? I said, look, hey, listen, take the gray hair out of your ears and listen for a second. This is how it's done in the 21st century.
Dude, you can't say that.
Why? Okay. It's true. You know,
they all have one gray way to hair close in their ears.
They're older. They're usually older people that think that it's all figured out.
What if it's silver? What if it's
okay, blue? I don't know. You know what I mean?
Wow.
People get set in their ways.
And there they went. Just I heard them. The radio went off. Just kidding. Radio.
Yeah. They're the same people who don't know what a podcast is.
Okay. So they're not listening. Oh, now I know where you're going with that.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, reach out to either one of us.
Yeah, let's move on.
On landacademy.com. That's how I get out of these things with you. I just transition.
Gosh.
I just say the transition.
I'm just going to I'm going to say something borderline offensive and watch till. Oh my gosh.
Today's topic, land investment only works with motivation. Man, is that true. This is the meat of the show.
Where do I start?
This is Jill's game.
I was waiting. I'm like, he wrote this for me.
I did.
All right. So here are my points. This is such a good topic. You know, finding distractions are very, very easy. Ignoring them is hard. So that's my first point I want to make, is get yourself on a path and set goals and don't waver. Time, I'm going to tell you, I'm just going to read through all my notes here, Jack, and then we'll talk about it all. Okay. So that's my one point. My second point is time and patience are key. I mean, no one's going to be a pro instantly. So you got to help you stay motivated, you got to expect that. You have to expect you're going to screw things up. You're going to send mailers wrong. You're going to price things wrong. You're going to talk to people wrong. You know, there's a lot of things you're going to do deeds wrong, you know, and you got to be ready for it. And it's okay. We all did that. You know, I've had things recorded, you know, returned from their quarter saying, you forgot to enclose the check. Oh, yeah. Guess I did, you know, little things like that. And it's okay. You know, the best thing is, it's kind of like I tell the kids, you know, be upfront and honest and say, yeah, I screwed up. How can we fix this together? And then it's all good. So then my last thing is about staying motivated. Goals really help. And for me, I set small, attainable weekly goals. Others, I think, like Jack, I think you have daily goals, because I've seen your calendar and it's pretty detailed on what you're doing all day, every day. Mine's not so specific, but I have goals for the week. So where do you want to jump in?
I had a consulting call last week. A guy called me and he said, and I would do these on Wednesday. So members can, it's a members only thing. I review their data before they're ready to send a mailer out, to make, especially if they're brand new, to just say, you know, I would change this or this. I also do a deal review. And so I ask people before to give me as much information via email that they can, so I can prepare. Cause I can't, if I just get blindsided, it's hard to prepare at the same time while I'm on the call. So a guy called, I had a call last time and he said, this is the whole thing. I just want to tell you my story and thank you. I'm like, oh, my first reaction is, oh my God, what's this going to go like? I get on the call and the guy says, I've been with you. You have never even seen my name. I'm sure of it. I've been with you guys for at least 6 months, maybe 8 months. And I want to thank you because I have no time. I have four children, no time, full-time job, and my wife works full-time. I have allocated 2 hours on Sunday night after everybody's in bed to do this, and I've closed 14 deals.
That's awesome.
And I just, you know, you get all misty and stuff, because that's why Jill and I are doing this. We don't need to do this.
I know.
That's it's why so we do this. Good. So with and so whatever motivation that, like, my point is this, what that guy was motivated.
That motivated you.
Well, it motivated me, sure. I mean, that's why we do this.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we fight.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I don't know what kept this guy motivated, but I think I'm going to tell you another story because we have time. And you're going to love this, Jill. So Jill and I are in Costco recently, and two people walked up and said, are you the land people? Aren't you guys the land people? The husband did.
Yes.
And we said, yeah, we're the land people. We've been listening to you and watching you. And he pulled his wife over and she was all nervous, which just cracks me up because we're like the most regular people there ever are.
Thank God we were presentable that day.
And I said, you know, I said, you know, I got to ask you what, because I'm always wondering how people find us and why they stick around and listen. And these aren't members, by the way. They're just people that I'm not sure exactly how far they are. I think I got the feeling they're new. And I said, what's the deal? What? Why? And he said, I got to do something. And that just stuck with me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what do you mean you got it? He's like, we have regular jobs and stuff, but it's just not, we got to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Exactly.
So he's motivated, whatever motivated him to do this and listen to this stuff and whatever version that he's, however he's pulling it off, something clicked in his head. I got to do something.
Right.
You know, maybe it was kids. Maybe it was too much responsibility at work. Maybe it's an idiot boss. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff motivates you. Whoever you are listening to this, there's motivation right in front of you. You just have to kind of look at it right. And I think that's how you look at it, Jill. That's how you find inspiration and motivation. Like, I think it's person specific, don't you?
It is. Because, everybody's motivated by different things, I think. And you're right. Could be security. Could be taking care of kids. It could be just an underlying theme for I've got to be doing something more. And I think that's, you know, it's interesting. I think, I don't know if you feel that way, Jack, but that's how I feel. I really feel, I'm going to get all philosophical here, but I really feel an underlying purpose for why we're doing this. And the more people that we help and the more stories you come to me with, like that guy that did the 14 deals, the more Luke Smiths out there and the Daves and the, you know, all of our, I could go on and on and on about, I have a laundry list of all of our people that are killing it. And it's all working great for them. That's my purpose, and that's
for Land,
motivating
for Land Academy, yeah.
Right? Motivating me.
That,
well,
for
now
me
it's
too,
what's
for
pushing forward all this other stuff because if I can help these people do this. Hey, now I know I can help those people do that, and now I can help these people over here. Oh, and I can write a book that's going to help these people over here. And we're starting some meetups. Hey, we're gonna help some other people with some little things around here in South Bay and in Scottsdale and all kinds of good stuff. So, yeah, you heard it here, by the way. If you want to come meet Jack and I, I'm hoping to wrap it up here very soon. So by the time this airs in a few hours, it may be ready. So go to meetups, and if you look for land investors, you will find us.
You know what motivates me to buy and sell property, though? Which is really what this is all about. Land Academy was just a unintended consequence.
Mm-hmm.
I am literally... and I mean literally, addicted to buying real estate. I mean, some people are addicted to all kinds of stuff you can get addicted to.
Yeah.
I have to do it. I start to feel strange.
You if land junkie, you.
Buy real estate. It's like, I had a partner one time. He said, take the needle out of your arm, man.
Yeah, you know what? That's, I like land junkie. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. That's really funny. Oh, you're right.
Join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss how to use information, that's me.
And inspiration, that's me.
To get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. Motivation is so important.
It is.
You know,
have all the resources, all the money, all the time in the world, but if you're not motivated to get up and do this, it doesn't matter.
I wonder how you teach discipline. You know, you should take the Marine Corps or something. Use it as an example. There's some former military guys that we have in our group that just won't stop for anything. I'm real impressed by that.
Yeah, it's very true.
What motivates you? Seriously, the feedback? Because what I heard you say on the show is a feedback. What motivates you to show up for this show on time, let's say? Is it the feedback?
No, I'm afraid of you.
Oh my gosh. I wonder if there's no child social services for wives.
Spousal social services. No.
He's Jill.
He's mad at me again.
Oh my gosh.
Just kidding. No. 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 Okay, here's what you want to know what motivates me?
Yeah, I'm afraid now.
No, it's sorry, it's not you. It's bigger than you. All right, I'll tell you mine and you tell me yours, please.
Okay.
Okay.
Show me yours.
Yeah, I'll show you mine. You show me yours. Oh, no. No. Okay, two things motivate me. Number one, you touched on, and it's like, when I hang up the phone.
Don't touch it. Just show it. Don't touch on it.
Stop that. No, I've had people tear up with me in situations. I've had these handwritten notes and beautiful emails, and I sit there and I tear up. That's motivating to me. It's like, holy cow, obviously doing the right thing. Don't stop. So that's number one. And number two, I simply love our lifestyle. Yeah. I love doing this. I love my crazy schedule, as crazy as it is. I love where we live. Even though it's split between two places, it's great because we have people in both worlds that we help, and we might add a third one at some point. You know, who knows? We might be plopped. I'm going to New York next week, you know, and meeting with some people. And I love, so these things motivate me. So and I know our kids are proud of us. I know that they don't say it. I know they don't say it, but they're proud of us, and that motivates me.
You know, now that I'm thinking about it,
show me yours.
When I was a partner at KPMG, all I could think about was how to get out of there. Mm. You know, and I really succeeded at that job. It was getting new customers and clients, and that really motivated me to get into this business and really do well at it. Because this is a sentence I said to myself in my head. I would rather flip burgers for the rest of my life than be a partner here for one more year. And this is a, you know, very well-paying job with, some incredible people at that level. And I'm very, very motivated by not having to go into a job every day. I'm not saying that that's everybody's motivation.
Right.
I'm just saying for some reason that I don't know why.
That was yours.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Like, our time is our, we have choices.
Yeah.
Our time is our own.
It's very true.
So it's never been making a pile of money, although that's what ended up happening and happens now. That was part of it, but
that my real me motivation. You're doing the right thing.
My real motivation is not to have a boss and not to go into some place and work and have it suck for 8 or 10 hours every single day.
Exactly. You know what I think we should do after this show?
What?
Go to a movie and go goofing.
Exactly.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. We do that. How many times we do? We probably once a week at least.
We do that. We're good at that.
We just look at each other and say, you know what? I'm done.
Our staff's like, there they go again.
No, our staff's like, thank God they're leaving.
Well, there is that. Perfect.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cashflow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.